time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. This is the last day of the month here in January. I pray that this has been a blessed new year, that you have made strides in your Christian walk, and that you're not the same person you were in 2022. If you can't say that that's the case, then let's surrender ourselves to God, that as we move into February, the Lord allows us to see tomorrow, that we will be renewed and re-glued to Jesus, my friends, and allow him to do a work in our hearts. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife, Undreamed Of, will take us to the throne of grace at this time. And she might be muted. And let me just make sure. Okay, there we go.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's time for prayer.
Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this time to come together. Open up your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit will come and teach us this morning the things we need to know for such a time as this. Anoint the words of our pastor, fill him with your spirit, and bless us this morning as we grow in grace and wisdom and draw nigh to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about
talking about life after the golden calf. This is going to show us the great mercy of God. Yes, he is just, and friends, sin separates us from God, but we're going to see how much God wants to dwell with each of us. We're reading Exodus chapter 33. This is right after the sin of the golden calf. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning. We thank you so much for your love. We give you glory and honor and praise, for you are truly a God who is worthy of all praise. We ask that you would bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. My friends, even when we mess up, God is saying he wants to deliver us. And he's telling them that he will still send his angel, and he will drive out these people that would try to kill God's people. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. He let them know, I'm going to drive these out, but I'm not going to do it in your midst. You see, we're going to see that, let's just keep reading. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. Yeah, okay. For I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. I just want to say this. You will find that we tend to struggle with pride, the pride of display. Is one aspect of pride. And you will find that when God's people walked away from him, he basically told them to take their jewelry off. When you get to the New Testament, he just said, listen, don't wear it. Okay, we don't have time to go to all the scriptures, but this is just one little plug to help you understand that it's part of our humility to let God shine out from the inside, and we tend to like to shine and glitter on the outside. For the Lord hath said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come unto the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. This is verse 5. We already read this. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. Verse 6. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. So, my friends, when we do that which separates us from God, it does separate us, but he still, his hand is not shortened. His hand is stretched out still. And the symbolism, God had Moses take that tabernacle, which was a symbol of his presence, and take it outside the camp. But he named it the tabernacle of the congregation, meaning that the people could still come. And they came. They understood that God couldn't be with them because of their sin and in their actual midst, but they could still go to him. He was not cutting himself off from them. You know, this whole concept of cutting people off and cutting things off, if God acted like some of us act, we would never be saved. We cut people off so fast, don't want to have anything to do with them, all because of our own pride, and we think they crossed us, and we think they did something wrong. I just want you to know Jesus is not in that type of behavior, and if you don't overcome it, you're not going to be saved. I don't care how well you speak. I don't care how much scripture you know. I don't care how long you've been doing what you've been doing. And even though the majority of the people in your church, in your ministry, or whatever, support you, believe in you, so on and so forth, they're not the ones who save you. It's God who saves you. And we need to overcome this prideful looking above people, our cutting people off, and attitude, and not you know, ignoring people, all this kinds of stuff. Friends, it's Jesus isn't in it. Jesus wouldn't do it. He did remove himself from the from their midst, but they could still come to him. It says, and it came to pass when Moses went into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Now, this is interesting because Moses went into the tabernacle, it says. So, you know, brothers and sisters, well, let's face it. Aaron had done a great sin. God probably wouldn't let him come in for a while. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. You see, if we have sinned, and we don't need to keep sinning, but if we have sinned, just humble yourself. Stop making excuses. Go to God. Ask for forgiveness. Take time to get back what you lost. Don't try to keep moving forward and saying, God is with me. No, he can be with you, but we need to regain what we lost. And sometimes we don't realize the sinfulness of sin, and we don't take time to come back to God. And then we end up messing up even more. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And this is a beautiful scripture, friends. We should memorize this. Exodus 33:15. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Friends, let me tell you what you really need. You don't need any money. Let me tell you what you really need. You don't need fame. Let me tell you what you really need. You don't need a position. You need the presence of God. When you have the presence of God, he owns a cattle of 1,000 hills. He holds the highest position. And he was before all and has always been. So from a standpoint of position, God has the funding, the position, and God has, and the money. Okay, that's the funding. Funding, position, and we mentioned three things, but I forgot what the other one was. You don't need money, you don't need fame, you don't need position, there you go. So God is famous in a positive way. He has the highest position of the universe, and he owns all things. So we just need his presence. And so we don't often do what's necessary to keep his presence with us. We engage in things that angels can't be with us in which angels cannot abide with us. And so we need to stop doing that. If we're watching things, listening to things, saying things that would cause angels to weep, let's stop. Because you don't want to live this life without the presence of God. So it says, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. This is Moses talking. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by name. So basically God is saying, okay, I will be with you. So when you think about the golden calf that just had happened, and listen to the tender words back and forth from Moses to God, God to Moses. God is so loving, friends, it's beyond our belief. And we need to be more like him. He is a very forgiving God, but he forgives to empower. He doesn't want us to keep going back to the mud. And God is good. So we just want to show the tenderness and love of God as right after the golden calf, though he pitched the tent outside, the people could still go to the tent and he called it the tabernacle of the people, and you listen to the kind words he's speaking to Moses, and as Moses is saying, Lord, please come back, God says, okay, I'll do it. And he said, I beseech thee. So now that he's got God in a tender moment, he said, I beseech thee, show me that glory. You know, they were just talking face to face, but he couldn't see God. He wanted to see him. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. Oh, my friends, he saw the back part of God, and I don't believe that means God was naked. That just means he couldn't see the front. He couldn't have a facial view of God, because we couldn't do that and live. The body has to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, which happens at the last trump, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and on and on. And so, my friends, this is what life was like after the golden calf. After a great sin, God was so compassionate and merciful. He held up the standards. He had to move the tabernacle out of the camp, but he didn't desert his people. And then he said, I will come back. But the people repented. It said they worshiped the Lord. They were very humble. They were very contrite. They weren't complaining and bickering. And they were watching every move that Moses made. And when he went in, they started praying and worshiping. And so, my friends, that's what we need to do. We need to do it all the time. But if you have found yourself living in a way that you ought not, just humble yourself. Stop with the help of the Lord. Ask for his help. Beg for it. He will give it to you. And then go to him. Take time out. Don't think that just because he can forgive that you are ready to rightly represent him in every way, and you're going to go out in a public way. Take time to get to know him, because there's other golden calves ahead of you. And so God is so kind and merciful to teach us these wonderful principles. All right, my friends, God bless you on Facebook. God bless you on the call. We're going to close out at this time with a word of prayer, and then we will have intermission and come back with a wellness topic. We're going to be talking about changing our internal environment. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. We give you praise, glory, honor. We ask that you would be with us now as we worship you, and we thank you for your kindness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it's now time for our intermission. We do so with the torso saw. Escape the torso.
There's a one of a kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free and you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune, butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered, and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with you can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vows.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free.
You know, friends, there are two competing philosophies as it relates to health. The most popular philosophy basically says, wait till you get sick and then use a drug to change the symptoms, change what your body is doing. The other philosophy says, let's change the internal environment of our body so that we don't get sick. Which one do you think is best? Well, obviously, the second is the best. And we can do that. You can do that with the Live Free lifestyle. I won't talk about every component of the lifestyle, but things that are very easy to change that make a lot of difference. Drinking water. Make sure that your urine is clear, that you've had enough water for the day. Take your weight, divide that by two. That's the number of ounces. Take a water bottle with you if you need to make sure you get that water. And do that in between meals so that you don't water down the digestive juices that you need to help you digest the food, and you end up with constipation and bloating and all these types of things. Drinking water, getting exercise, you know, walking is very good for us. There's other exercises, rebounding or a mini trampoline, swimming. You have a pool near you, and it's appropriate to do so. There's just a lot of good exercise, and we need to exercise every day. Of course, we've got to change our diet, friends, and get to a plant-based diet. We can do it. It's not as hard as you think. It's not hard. It's just the devil has made it up. You think it's hard, but it's not. Build your meals around salads, a fruit salad, lots of fruit, in other words, a vegetable salad, lots of vegetables, and then add other things, whole grains, legumes, other types of dishes made with those foods. We change the internal environment so that we're more alkaline with more fruits and vegetables. Disease can't thrive in an alkaline environment. If we change our environment, we wouldn't have to worry about a lot of the pestilences that come on our world. The C19 is a condition that causes inflammation, and it is a known fact that if our bodies are more alkaline, they're more apt to fight inflammation. So the disease won't be able to have as much lodgment in our system. This is our health topic for today. Let's change our environment with simple lifestyle practices. Follow all the 8 laws. We talked about drinking water, getting exercise, and changing your diet. All right, my friend, phone lines are open. We'll start with roll call. On Facebook, we have representation from Tennessee and from Virginia. On the call, we have representation from Georgia, Ohio, North Carolina, Delaware, Maryland, and Alabama. Phone lines are open. If you'd like to share anything, press *6. We'd love to engage with you. And we have plenty of time before the top of the hour, if there is any more. All right, then. Well, God is good. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118:24, Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So, my brothers and sisters, today let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. It's time for our closing prayer. My wife, undreamed of, will take us to the throne of grace.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your mercy, your love, your protection, your grace. We thank you for giving us fresh manna from heaven. Help us to allow your spirit to continue to help us to study these things out, to be able to gain more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding so that we can share your love story with the world. We ask and pray that we will surrender all to you and that our service today would be unto you, Lord. May we be successful in all that we do. Remember to take the time throughout the day to pause and to just give you praise, glory, and honor, thanking you for what you're doing for us. May you help us to be faithful. Prepare each of us individually, single-handedly for our severest trials that are just around the corner. May we allow for your everlasting strength to be granted unto us. Help us to keep our thoughts of heavenly things, to keep our eyes upon Jesus, and to rest comfortably and assured in the promises that you have given to us. We pray that you will bless every heart on this line in a special way. Grant each of us spiritual, mental, and physical healing, and even financial blessings, Lord, for those that are in need, which that's all of us. So we ask that you will open up your window of your storehouse, Lord, and pour out those blessings as you had promised you would do. All of our needs would be supplied. And we thank you for that. For we pray this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. But ye shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
And before our closing song, we're going to go ahead and take a call. I just see that our mother in Israel from the Atlanta area is on the call. So let's do that. Good morning, Sister Winston.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning, Pastor. I'm sorry I had pushed the wrong button and I had disconnected myself, but I did have a comment to make, and it's about how the conference has changed the fundamental beliefs, the 28 fundamental beliefs of the Adventist
yes.
Church.
Yes.
I was reading in the magazine, The World, I forget the name of it, but anyway, they're in there, and the third one has to do with the Trinity. And they
yes.
teach the same way like the Catholic. They say there's one God. You know, just like the Catholics said, we know that there's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, you know, the conference has changed. They changed the three-angel logo, and now they changed the Trinity. And, you know, it's sad. And even the churches now are beginning, you know, they have this little wafer and the grape juice all together, like the Catholics do. And that's
right.
what most of the religious churches are using when they have communion. It's so sad that God has given the Adventist Church the true message and we're not following it. And most of the churches don't know that they're following, when they follow the conference, they're following man and not God. But God has blessed me to bring you into my life so that you teach the truth, and I know you teach the truth. And I just praise the Lord because I have been truly blessed through the years, and God has blessed me over and over again, me and my family, through your messages. And I ask that, you know, that God will continue to bless you and everyone on the line because you do teach the truth. And keep me in prayer, and it was good seeing you and Sister Maria when you were here. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. All right, we're going to go ahead and have our closing song at this time, and that will be I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord, I will worship the Lord, I will.